would, turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5 and then Galatians chapter 4. Galatians chapter 4. We're doing a series, and I did an introduction several weeks back, but this is going to be part one. Seven keys to reigning in life as kings. How many of you would like to reign and rule the circumstances of your life? That's what this series is all about. This is going to be a very challenging series. I'm going to challenge you as I preach the Word of God. You're going to hear some things that you probably going to have to shift your brain a little bit to receive them. But if you want to grow in grace and knowledge, if you've got the Word for it, he was singing about the lighthouse, at the entrance of thy Word there is light. When you get light on a subject, then you need to embrace that. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, the blood of Jesus Christ constantly cleanses us from all sin. Light's important. Thank God for the lighthouse. Thank you for that song. But this series of messages can change your life simply because until you realize what Christ has done for you, you can never walk in dimension. You must realize the work of the cross, what God did for you through Jesus Christ on that cross, if you're ever going to master all of life and walk in dominion. I've chosen for my basic text, Romans 5:17. Look at it. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, I love this, much more they which receive the gift of righteousness, look at that, receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one Jesus Christ. Adam, the first Adam, fell into sin. The last Adam, Jesus, he came, he overcame sin, he overcame the devil, he overcame the world, he overcame everything, making us more than conquerors, showing us that we can overcome. The last Adam, he's not the second Adam, he's the second man, but he's the last Adam. There will never be another. He paid the price at Calvary, and you need to realize some things scripturally. Now I want you to look at Galatians 4, verse 1. Paul said, now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all. If you are spiritually immature, if you do not understand the Word of God, you will, even though you are a king, you will be just like a servant, but you are Lord of all. You've just got to grow in grace and knowledge and come to that knowledge of that fact. You are an heir and a joint heir with Jesus Christ, but as long as you are a child in your spiritual growth, you can never obtain what belongs to you in Christ, though you're Lord of all. If every time somebody says something that hurts your feelings and you can't get over it, let me tell you, you are a child. If you cannot forgive people and go on thinking about how much God has forgiven you of, you are a child. If every time something doesn't go your way and you get all upset about it, you are a child. You are Lord of all, but until you grow up and mature in Christ, even though you are a king, you are as a servant, and the devil will make you his servant, I promise you that. Even though you have eternal life, he will rule and reign over your life. But once you get this series right here, you don't want to miss one of these. This is a compilation of everything I believe I've ever studied in the Bible, trying to put it together. And I just thank God for it. But you are an heir, and you are a joint heir with Jesus. In Genesis chapter 1, God said, let us make man in our own image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion. Let man have dominion. The Living Bible says, let us make a man someone like ourselves, to be master of all of life. I like that. God had just spoken the worlds into existence with words. Then he said, let us make a man. Let us make a woman. Let us make someone just like ourselves. Let us make them a speaking being so that I can take my word and what I say to them and speak it, and they become master of all of life. That's God's dream for you. God's dream for you is that you be master of all of your life. God's dream for you is that you walk in victory. God's dream for you is that your children get saved. God's dream for you is that you have prosperity. God's dream for you is that you get a hold of what he has provided through the cross. And God says, I want you to be just like I am. I don't want you to be a slave. I don't want you to be a servant. I don't want you to be dominated. But my dream for you is that you will master all of life. How many of you want to master all of life? Well, if you're going to master all of life and do what the Bible says in the book of Revelation says, he hath made us kings and priests unto God. That word hath is past tense. He's already done. He hath made us kings and priests unto God. Not someday when in the sweet by and by, but right now, whether you realize it or not, you are a king and you are a priest unto God. There are seven things you must know, however, to reign as a king in life in Christ Jesus. And I don't want you to miss any of these. My subject, seven keys to reign in life as kings. This is part one. I'm going to list these seven keys, and then I'm going to preach them one by one. The seven keys. Number one, know the integrity of the word of God. That's what I'm going to preach this morning. Number two, know the reality of redemption. Number three, know that you are a new creation in Christ. Number four, know that you are the righteousness of God. You've got to know that. Number five, know the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit. Number six, you have got to know the reality of fellowship. And number seven, you have to understand the authority of the name of Jesus. His name is above every name, and God has given you that name so you can rule and reign in life in Christ Jesus, not in your strength, not by power nor by might, but by my spirit, saith the Lord God of hosts. Whatever you're wrestling with, I promise you, if you can get a hold of what God has provided through Jesus Christ at the cross, it will not lord itself over your life. You will come out of that dilemma. And when daddy comes out, guess what? The whole family starts coming out. They are coming out. Say, my family's coming out. I'm coming out. My family's coming out. We're all coming out in Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. My subject this morning, seven keys to reigning in life. This is part one. Let us pray. Father, thank you for the word of God. It is living. It is powerful. It is God indwelt. It is God breathed. It is God inspired. Lord, it's part of the armor that you have given us, that we are to speak your word. We're to declare your word. We decree it. You made us speaking beings so that we could speak into situations in life, so we could preach the gospel, so we could tell others the good news, God. The words we believe in our heart, as the psalmist said, that the meditation of my heart, amen, be acceptable in their sight, so that the words that I speak, they will be your words, and they'll be full of power, full of glory, full of anointing. Let me preach your gospel with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven. Give us that listening in. Everybody said in Jesus' name, amen. I remember when I first got saved in the mountains that I was facing in life. And I prayed, and I fasted, and I sought God, and I prayed, oh God, oh God, oh God, please move this mountain. I moved a lot of them. It seemed like that God was just doing great things in my life, but that was something I could not move. Oh God, please help me. Oh God, please move that mountain. And one day God spoke to me and said, you move it. I said, me move it, God? How can I move a mountain? And he said, speak to it, command it to move, and move it. And then I found Mark 11:23. Let's look at it together. This is Jesus speaking. Jesus said, verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe those things which he saith, not which he prayeth, which he saith shall come to pass. He shall have whatsoever he saith. I want you to look at that. You must believe in your heart, and you've got to speak it. We are speaking beings created in the image of God and the likeness of God with the authority and dominion to rule and reign through Jesus Christ in this life right here. Well, I began to speak to that mountain, and I talked to it, and I spoke to it, and I commanded it to move in Jesus' name. And I literally drove that mountain out. I cast that thing out completely. And I learned something. We Pentecostal people, we are speaking. speakers. We talk the stuff. You remember when Jesus cursed that fig tree and said, I command you to die. And they were marveled that the thing died. Well, Jesus was showing this principle. If you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, if you say move, it's going to move. All you got to do is have faith in your heart, the God-like faith in your heart, and decree it with your mouth, with your heart and with your mouth. Faith has to be in two places. It's got to be in your heart, and it's got to be in your mouth. I was like a lot of people when I first got saved. I was waiting on God. But I realized when God spoke to me, you speak to that man, God was waiting on me. I didn't realize it, but the miracle was in my mouth. I believed God. I really believed it. And I said, oh, God, I believe you'll move that mountain. He said, you move it. When I believed in my heart and confessed with my mouth what I believed in my heart, praise God, and I'm coming forth in the victory. Guess what? It happened. The miracle was in my mouth. And guess what? Your miracle is in your mouth. Go on and praise God. Hallelujah. Look at Romans 10 and 8. Paul is saying, but what saith it? Look at that. The word is nigh thee. It's near you. Even in your heart and in your mouth. In your heart and in your mouth, that is the word of faith which we preach. Here's how you got saved, verse 9. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, and believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto it. Whatever you believe in your heart in a certain situation, using God's word as your basis, then when you begin to speak that with your mouth, you are on your way to victory. When somebody prays for you, go say, hallelujah, the prayer of faith was saved, and I believe I'm healed. When you got saved, when I got saved, while the stain of sin was still on our breath, we said, I believe God has saved me. And when you believed, confess with your mouth what you believed in your heart, you were saved. The miracle is in your mouth. The promises of God, they are all true. And the Bible says, and the amen is spoken by us. Let it be. I'm a speaking being and I speak God's promises and I expect them to come to pass. Not because of what I did, but because of what God did at Calvary's cross through the Lord Jesus Christ. And God, he will keep his word. He watches over it to perform it. But if you don't put it in your heart and then speak it with your mouth, you'll never get your miracle. People say to me over and over and over, over again, I believe God, I believe God. But you've got more than just believe in your heart. You've got to confess what you believe with your mouth. Confession is made unto salvation. That's how you got saved, and that's how you get miracles from God. Amen. Faith must be in two places. It must be in your heart. It must be in your mouth. That's how you got saved. You believed in your heart. You confessed with your mouth what you believed in your heart. And you got saved. Well, that's how you get healed. That's how you get delivered. That's how you get miracles. Confession is made unto it. I don't want to just believe in salvation. I want to get unto it. I don't want to just believe in healing. Praise God. I want to get unto it. I don't want to just believe in prosperity. When I can't pay my bills, praise God, I want a job, I want to work, and I want to get unto it, praise God. Anybody with me out there, do you want to get unto what God has promised in you, in his word? Then the miracle is in your heart and in your mouth. So many people, they're waiting on God to do something just like I was, but God is waiting on you. Oh God, when are you going to heal me? Oh God, when are you going to bless me? Oh God, when are you going to save my children? Oh God, when are you going to heal my marriage? He's going to do it when you believe it in your heart and confess it with your mouth. Sister Peggy was talking this morning about persistence. There are laws, and I'm doing a series on Wednesday night on laws that regulate faith. Come back and hear some of the word of God. If all you get this morning is a message and you hear a sermon, and if this thing does not cause you and quench a thirst in you to know God better, than all you heard is a sermon. But if this thing, if you will allow it to get into your spirit, I promise you, on the authority of God's word, you will come forth and shine. The Bible says, arise and shine. Thy day is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. I believe God is ready to pour out some glory, but we got to get some things ready in our heart, and we got to get some revelational knowledge from God if we're going to possess what God wants us to possess. Too many times we're like Moses. I like old Moses. He was at the Red Sea, and he was waiting on God. He was. He was there, the most elite army in the world behind him, but God was waiting on Moses. Moses had Pharaoh's army behind him and the Red Sea in front of him. And he's crying out to God, and he's praying, oh God, oh God, oh God, please help me. And go read your Bible. God says, Moses, why are you crying out to me? You've prayed long enough about this thing. God said, Moses, what you got in your hand? And God said, I want you to take that rod, I want you to lift it up, I want you to part that sea, and I want you to lead the people of God through on dry ground. You think Moses, he'd done all that praying, he said, I got a word from God, I command that sea to part, I command that sea to part, I command that sea to part. He's a speaking being, he knows God is a speaking being, God just spoke to him. God speaks to you and he speaks to me all the time. And we'll just sit back and on our seat of do little, do nothing. We refuse to speak what God has said. Start saying what God said about your life. You'll start living in great victory in Jesus' name. When Moses lifted up that rod in faith and acted on God's word, guess what? That sea parted and God brought forth a great miracle. Moses had prayed. Moses had sought God. Moses was waiting on God, but God was waiting on Moses to put his faith into action. When Moses lifted that rod, you're like, oh, brother David, I love David. That's a 10-footer against a 5-footer. He's running this giant, got a rock and a rag. He said, you come against me with sword and spear, but I come against you in the name of the Lord God of hosts. Listen to, he's got faith in his heart. I come against you in the name of the Lord God of hosts. This day shall he give you into my hand. Woo! Glory! Hallelujah! Down goes the giant. Why don't you kill your giant? Get some faith in your heart. Start speaking to your mouth. I like to do it. I'll do it again. Woo! Glory to God. Doesn't that make you feel good? Shout with me. Woo! One more time. Woo! One more time. Woo! Have those people gone crazy over that Westmoreland? No, they just got the shout of victory. I hear the sound of victory coming out of the camp. Woo! Glory, 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 glory. Words, words, words. There are millions of words in the world. They're written in books. The words are written in newspapers. We text words every day. Millions and millions of other places we find words. Then there are the words that are written in the Bible. Some of those words look like all the other words in the world. They are spelled the same, but they are different. Jesus said, the words I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. David, look up John 6:63. I want the people to see this. It is the spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. Jesus said, the words I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Hallelujah. Want some life? Start talking God's word. Jesus said, it's the spirit that quickeneth. The flesh, your flesh will bring nothing forth. You got to hear from God. Then when whatever you hear from God, you start decreeing it. You start speaking it. That's why I like that confession of faith. I am blessed and highly favored of God. Look at three people and tell them, you are blessed and highly favored of God. You are blessed and highly favored of God. Hallelujah. Jesus said, the words I speak, they're spirit and they're life. See, the words in the Bible, they look like all the other words in the world, but they're different because they are God's words. God breathed life into them. And when you believe them in your heart and confess those words with your mouth, miracles begin to happen. Sometimes you just have to remind yourself of who you are in God. Sometimes you have to remind the devil that greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. We have a right as children of God to dominate any situation in life. Amen. Sickness has no right to lord itself over me. Sickness has no right to lord itself over you. We have a right to lord it over the devil, to lord it over sickness, to lord it over poverty, to lord it over disease, and to dominate the issues of life. Look at my text once again, Romans 5:17. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace, favor, and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life through Jesus Christ. You don't reign in your strength. You reign through the power of the word, through the power of the blood of his cross. Everything that you will ever get from God was paid for at Calvary's cross. And if you'll believe it in your heart and start confessing it with your mouth, victory is on the way. Hallelujah. We're to reign in life by one Jesus Christ. But as long as you're a child in your thinking, as long as you're a child in your knowledge, as long as you're a baby in your knowledge, you will never do anything but live a servant's life, though God has made you master and Lord of all. Look at Galatians 4:1 again. I asked the Lord for years, what in the world does this verse mean? And I pondered it and I pondered it and I finally got revelation. Paul said, now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, different nothing than a servant, though he be Lord of all. That's what this series is about. And I challenge you to come back each and every week, because I am pouring into you what God has poured into my life. And I'm doing it with the best that's inside of me. God wants you to grow in grace and knowledge. He wants you to understand your rights and your privileges in Jesus Christ. He wants you to rise up and to assume your position in Jesus Christ. You are in Christ. Christ is in you. You are one. He said, Father, I pray that you'll not take them out of the world, but you'll keep them from the evil. He said, I and thou and me, that they may be one in us. If you ever see your position in Christ, that you are one. He said, I want the world to know that you have loved them as you have loved me. What a revelation that God wanted to tabernacle in the hearts of man. That God, this creating being that spoke. How did you get? He's still creating new creations in Christ. You believe in your heart and confess with your mouth. And that's how you get unto it. And God has made us. And he sent Jesus down to demonstrate to us through the word of God just who God is and how good God is. And if you want to know who God is, watch Jesus. Walk through the pages of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Watch his miracles. Watch his love. Watch his compassion. Watch his deliverance. Watch him as he deals with the religious crowd. And watch him as he moves in on suffering humanity. And relieves their burdens and lifts them up. Said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. When I feel a heavy load, I say, Lord, I'm pulling too much. Time for me to let you pull the main load. I'm just going to step back a little bit, God. Now, your yoke is easy. Your burden is light. I'm just going to walk through life, hallelujah, ruling and reigning as a king and priest under God. Somebody, go on, praise him, hallelujah. Glory to God. So in this series, I'm going to give you 7 redemptive keys that will help you to master all of life. Number one, know the integrity of God's word. Know the integrity of God's word. Too many people, they know what their church teaches. They know what religion teaches. They know what their denomination teaches. But they do not know what the word of God teaches. The Bible does not teach us that God makes us sick to teach us a lesson. Religion teaches that. The Bible does not teach us that God punishes us for our past sins. Religion teaches that. The Bible teaches us that he forgives all our sin and he heals all our disease. Somebody go on, praise him. Hallelujah. The Bible teaches us that we serve a good God and that it takes faith to please him. And the Bible teaches us that the only way that you can obtain faith is by hearing the word of God. Paul said, the word is nigh thee, even in thy heart and in thy mouth. That is the word of faith which we preach. I'm preaching faith right now. Are you getting any of it? Hallelujah. It is the spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. I'm on a mission, praise God. I stand here in Christ's stead. And when you go out and witness to somebody, you're an ambassador for Christ, beseeching the world that through you, God would reconcile the world to Christ Jesus. You are somebody. Let me help you. Shake yourself and say, I'm somebody. I'm going to rule and reign in life as a king, as a priest unto God. I am who God said I am. I have what God said I have. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Go on and praise him. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Glory to God. The word of God is God speaking to us, and it is a revelation from God to us. And God said, you can count on my word no matter what the circumstances of life. Last week, I wasn't feeling too good. But I came back and preached Wednesday night, not on my feelings, but on what I believe. Look at Numbers 23:19. Why can a man live like that? You can live like if Numbers 23:19, David. God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, shall not he not do it? Hath he spoken? Do you catch that? He has spoken. Has he spoken? Shall he not make it good? God is not a man that he should lie. Have you found a promise from him? Are you struggling with an issue? He is not a man that he should lie. Hath he said, shall he not do it? Hath he spoken? Shall he not make it good? Well, where's your faith? It's got to be in your heart on what God said, and you got to put it in your mouth. The miracle is in your mouth. Hallelujah. I said the miracle is in your mouth. God watches over his word to perform it. And God said, if you believe it in your heart and confess it with your mouth, the promise is yours. The Bible is God speaking to us, and it is a revelation from God to us. Now, I'm going back in my memory bank quite a bit, but in 1982, shortly after I was saved, God spoke to me at 3 a.m. in the morning. I'm brand new. I didn't know a whole lot except what I'd been taught in Sunday school, a little bit I'd listened to while I was in church. And God spoke to me, and he said, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. I couldn't go back to sleep. All I could hear going over and over in my mind was, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. So I got up. I said, well, God, I know you're talking to me. I know you're speaking to me. See, God's a speaking being. I know it's in the Bible somewhere, Lord. Where is it? I got my Bible out, and I began to search from Genesis to Revelation. I couldn't find it. So I bowed my head, and I prayed. I said, oh, God, I know you're talking to me. And I believe what you said, and I need help. Where is that in the Bible, Lord? And the same voice said, turn to the book of John. Well, I thought I'd have to go through the whole book of John, but look at John 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word. Woo! Words, words, words. What the words mean? Jesus said, my words are spirit and they're life. Words. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. And it goes on. I said, I know that. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. I was taught that in Sunday school. Well, what does that mean to me, Lord? And God spoke to me in words I could understand. He said, learn my word. It would do exactly what I said it would do. It is a guide for earthly living and a roadmap to eternal life. Learn my word. And from that moment to this moment, I have studied, I have memorized scripture. I have sought to know more about God. I have a quest in life. It is to know him. But it's not enough for me to get my victories. I want others to get their victories. I want to raise up an army of believers. People empowered by the Holy Ghost. People that believe in their heart and confess with their mouth the word of God, and signs and wonders start following the whole church. That's who we are, and that's what we're supposed to do. Hallelujah. God was teaching me a lesson. See, the Bible is a book about how to live your life. If the Bible says, don't do this, don't do it. If the Bible says, do this, then do it. The Bible is a book about how to live your life. Love everybody. Love your enemies. Do good to those that despise you. Just make a decision, praise God. It's like the old man that walked into the rest home. They rolled him in his wheelchair. He said, I love it, I love it, I love it. They showed him the dining area. He said, I love it, I love it, I love it. They taken him back to his room. Said, we're going to show you your room now. He said, I love it, I love it, I love it. Said, how can you say you love your room? You haven't seen it yet. He said, I decided that I love it. Whew. He made a decision. It doesn't matter what people do. It doesn't matter. I just choose to love it. Hallelujah. If you can ever get that into your spirit, man, guess what? You're on your way to victory. I just decided. I just made a choice. Before you ever wrong me, I hope you don't, but a lot of people do. I've already made a choice. I forgive you. You cannot change that. I decided. I decided, and I believe it in my heart, and I spoke it with my mouth. And I'm going to tell you, some of you wouldn't be standing and sitting in the church today if you're going through some stuff I've gone through. I've had people do some, I just go on and say it. Some of the meanest people you will ever find are in the church. But they're the best people in the world too. But some of the meanest people you will ever meet are in the church. I've been in the Marine Corps, sit on bars, had barroom brawls. Next night, they were, can I buy you a beer? I've been out in the business world, fussing and all kind of cussing going on in meetings, and walk out of there, hey, Jerry, let's go to lunch. Somebody say one word that upsets you in the church. I'm never going back to that place. Though you are Lord of all, you are still a child. Can I preach a little while? Grow up. That's what we're about here at Westmoreland. Grow up, praise God. Grow in grace and knowledge. Go on, praise Him of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Do yourself a favor. Don't let your happiness be in somebody else's head. Let your happiness be in Jesus. Glory, 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 glory. I just decided I'm happy that I'm saved. My name is in the Lamb's Book of Life. I'm on my way to glory. Walls of jasper, gates of pearl, streets of pure, transparent gold. The Lamb's Book of Life is called the City Directory. Every meal shall be a banquet. Every step shall be a thrill. Eyes not seen, ears not heard. It's not even in the hearts of man the things God has prepared for those that love Him. But while I'm here, I'm going to enjoy and rule and reign in life. Go and praise God in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. The Bible is a book about how to live your life. The Bible is a living word, is a powerful word, and it produces faith. The Bible says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So if you're going to reign in life as a child of God, you must know the integrity of God's word. I'm going to give you four things. The word of God is God-breathed. The word of God is God-breathed. God breathed into man. He became a living soul. Look at Isaiah 55 and 11. God said, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall never return unto me void, but it shall accomplish the things that it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper whereinto I send it. Has God sent a word into your life? Woo! Confess it with your mouth. Get it in your heart. Confess it with your mouth. The word of God is God breathed. The word of God. God spoke it. And it's forever settled in heaven. And it's up to you and me to speak it and settle it on earth. Hallelujah. God watches over his word to perform it. His word is God breathed. It's God indwelt. The words I speak, their spirit and their life, Jesus said. Hallelujah. You got to get a hold of that. God is not a man that he should lie. Hath he said, shall he not do it? Hath he spoken, shall he not make it good? My Lord, the miracle's in your mouth if you believe it in your heart and confess it with your mouth. Not only is God's word God breathed, but point B, the word of God is God indwelt. Hallelujah. It's God indwelt. God lives in his word. God walks through the pages of this book. Hallelujah. Look at Hebrews 4 and 12. For the word of God is quick. That's an old English word that means living. For the word of God is living and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and the joints and the marrow. It is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. How in the world did that preacher know what I was doing? Well, he's preaching the word, and the word discerns your heart. How do you get saved? The word of God, the sword of the spirit, comes down, splits soul and spirit asunder. You believe in your heart, you get the word, and you start confessing it with your mouth, and you're saved. The miracle is in your mouth. Hallelujah. When you speak the word of God, God's word is alive. It is living. It is full of God's power. And when you declare, you are declaring the will of God, because God's word is God indwelt. Religion says, oh no, we don't know if God will do that or not. If you believe it in your heart, confess it with your mouth, God will do it. He's not a man that he should lie. He said, I'm looking for faith. I'm looking for it in two places. The eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth. What are they doing? He's searching for those whose heart is perfect or stayed upon him, who believe in their heart and confess with their mouth what God has said. Amen. They are God's words. God breathed life into them. And when we take God breathed words and confess them with our mouth, miracles come to pass. Now, point C, the word of God is God inspired. God inspired it. Holy men of old, they wrote as they were moved upon by the Holy Ghost. Look at 2 Timothy 3:16. It says, all scripture, say all. All scripture is given by God. It is profitable for doctrine, for reproof. You got on my feet, preacher. Well, that's what I'm supposed to do. If you're out of line with the word, not my words, I'm just a messenger. Profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction. Quit doing those things you're doing. If the word of God says don't do it, don't do it. For correction, for instruction in righteousness. It tells you how to live a righteous life. Holiness unto the Lord. That's a real devil. He's on the loose. And let me tell you, he's after you. He's after me. He goes about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. But God's word is a lamp unto our feet. It is a light unto our path. And at the entrance of his word, there comes revelation. Revelational knowledge of who you are in Christ. And that's the challenge of this entire series right here. Look at this right here, Matthew 7:24. Jesus said, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings, these words of mine, and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon the rock. The rain descended, and the floods came, and the wind blew and beat upon that house. It fell not. It was founded upon the rock. Pastor Rick and I did 25 different subject matters on a Wednesday night, surviving the storms of life. That was our basic text right there. In other words, you can be like the world or you can be like Jesus. You can talk like the world or you can talk like Jesus. You can react like the world or you can react like Jesus. You can run people down or you can build people up. You can love people or you can despise them. You can overlook their shortcomings if you choose to, or you can spend your life just complaining and griping and griping and complaining and murmuring. God cut off a whole nation because they mumbled and griped and complained in the wilderness. There were two men, Joshua and Caleb. They had faith. They spoke, I believe I can take that mountain. They believed God. They said this city is ours. God's already spoken. Now we're speaking being. We're going to speak it too. We're going to obtain the promises of God. Go on, praise Him. Hallelujah to the Lamb. God's word is living and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. The question is, will you believe it in your heart and confess it with your mouth? Point D, God's word is part of the whole armor. God provided an armor for us, and part of it is the sword of the Spirit. Look at Ephesians 6:17. Take the helmet of salvation. Well, it's wonderful to be saved. Then take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Hallelujah. Thank God for salvation. Thank God for heaven. But while we're here on this earth, we need to suit up and put on the whole armor. So you can take God's word, and you can drive sickness and disease out. You can take God's word, act on it, and come forth more than a conqueror. You can take God's word and drive the enemy from the battlefield. God said, draw nigh to me, and I will draw nigh to you. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. You don't have to say, why God, why God, why God? Just know this. You've got an enemy. You better put the word of God on your lips. Have it in your heart, hidden there, so when you need it, you can confess it with your mouth. I'm more than a conqueror through him that loved me and gave himself for me. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. Thanks be unto God, which giveth us the victory through Jesus Christ our Lord. Thanks be unto God, which always causes me to triumph in Christ. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. No weapon formed against me can ever prosper. I am who God said I am. I have what God said I have. I can do what God said I can do. I'm a child of God. I'm an heir of God. I'm a joint heir with Jesus Christ. I am to rule and reign in life as a king and a priest unto God. Somebody go on and praise him. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Glory to God. Put those seven keys up there, Brother David. Hallelujah. I got a lot I'm leaving out, but that's all right. I think you get the point. Seven keys to rule and reign. Know the integrity of God's word. That's what this message right here is about. The second lesson will be know the reality of redemption. The third one will be know the reality of being a new creation. Fourth, and know that you are the righteousness of God. You're not living under condemnation. I don't care how much you messed up. If you confess your sin, you've got an advocate with the Father. He's faithful and just to forgive you of your sin and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. And you have God's word on it. And God's not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, shall he not do it? Hath he spoken, shall he not make it good? Get happy in Jesus. Get that frown off of your face. Praise God. Say, I just choose to smile. I just choose to be happy. I just choose to have joy. Jesus said he wanted his joy to remain in me. He wanted my joy to be full. People said, how can you have all that joy? I said, because I've got Jesus' joy deep down inside. The world didn't give it to me. The devil didn't give it to me. Jesus gave it to me. Put John 15:11 up there. If you don't believe what I'm preaching is true, look at the word of God. I've got word for everything I say when I preach a sermon. Look at this. Jesus said, these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you. Woo! I got joy like a river. I got peace like a fountain. I've got joy like a river in my soul. I've got joy overflowing. I know someday I'm going. I've got joy like a river in my soul. Well, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, from my heart. There's no doubt about it. I'm going to sing and I'm going to speak it. Thank you, Jesus, from my heart. Hallelujah. Pastor Ricky, this is going to be an exciting series. I don't want you to miss a lesson. Too many Christians, they just sit back and say, I wish God would do this. I wish God would do that. No, you got to rise up. You got to put faith in your heart. By reading the word, hearing the word, meditating on the word, memorizing the word, And then you got to speak it with your mouth. And then you come out against the devil in Jesus' name. You are who God said you are. You can do what God said you can do. You have received the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness. And you can reign in life by one Jesus Christ. I love David. David's one of my favorite characters. David's in a great battle. He said, I believed, therefore have I spoken. He said, I was greatly afflicted. But I believed something in my heart, and I confess it with my mouth. David, if you would look up 2 Corinthians 4:13. 2 Corinthians 4:13. Because I want to bring us from the old covenant into the new. David said, I believed, therefore have I spoken. I was greatly afflicted. Paul comes along. Paul said, we're having the same spirit of faith of David, according as it is written. Wait, what's it written? It was written in Psalms 116 and 10 when David said, I believe, therefore have I spoken. Paul says, and we having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, therefore have I spoken. Catch this. He said, we also believe and therefore speak. The miracle, my friend, is in your mouth. Let it stand. Hallelujah.
I sing praises to your
name. I love you, Jesus. I love you with words. I love you with all my heart. I believe in my heart. And what I believe in my heart, I confess with my mouth. I love you. You search the inward parts of the belly. You search the heart. You know our lying down and our rising up. And you know if it's religious pretense or if you know it's a heart of love. Oh God, take the words that I've spoken. Let them find their lodging in the hearts of your people. Raise up a great army, O God. I sing praises to your name. You are who God said you are. You can do what God said you can do. You can have what God said you can have. Just sing some praises to his name out of your heart. Woo! Glory.
I sing praises to your name.
The highest note of praise. Hallelujah.
Glory.
Woo!
And I sing praise.